We're going to hear from God's word now, from Romans chapter 8, verse 18.
Yes, Romans chapter 8. We're carrying on from where we started at the beginning of the service. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from the sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised to us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honour at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen. We thank God for his word to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, may it speak powerfully to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what can separate us from the love of God? You got it. Okay. Well, that's the sermon, really. But we'll give it a bit more. We'll give it a bit more than that. I came across this wonderful quote from the band Wren Collective. I don't know if you've heard of them. We're going to sing a couple of their songs later on in the service today. This is what they wrote. Have you ever felt like you can't go on? Dark days, when it feels the world is too far gone, when you want to quit the thing you've been called to do. We've had these moments too. Seasons when we struggle to get out of bed, let alone doing the work and the ministry we love so much. And here's a sentence that really got me. Worship sometimes needs to be an act of defiance, joy, an act of resistance. Let me just say that again. Worship sometimes needs to be an act of defiance, joy, an act of resistance. We started a series a couple of weeks ago where we were looking at texts, which people tell me are texts that sometimes can be more discouraging than encouraging. Texts that kind of make us feel bad rather than better. And the idea is to have another look at these texts and to see what God's word is actually saying to us in the hope that we can turn these texts around and actually make them the encouragement that they really are and are meant to be. So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about joy, and the title of the sermon was, Am I Really Meant to Feel Joyful All the Time? So if you want to hear that again or if you missed it, the talk is on the website. But just trying to lift this pressure off us that says, oh, because I'm a Christian, I ought to feel joyful. Or even worse, this sense of everybody else is feeling really joyful this morning except me, which is never true. But today, we've come on to a second text that I've been asked to have a look at, which is the text that talks about we are more than conquerors. And what can happen with this text? The problem with it is that we're coming into church and, you know, we've not had a good week. We're feeling bad about ourselves. Perhaps sometimes we're feeling very bad about ourselves. And we walk in and we hear a text like that and we think, well, number one, I'm not a conqueror. And then we start to think, well, I'm a lousy Christian. Everybody else here is more than a conqueror, but I'm not. And a text that's meant to build us up becomes one that actually treads on us. Now, if you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about this morning, just switch off for the next few minutes, okay? You know, if when you hear the text, we are more than conquerors, your reaction every time is to say, well, that's great. I'm more than a conqueror. Let's go for it. You know, I'll get ready, I'll get my God suit on, I'll go out and fight those battles. If that's your reaction, you don't need to hear this morning's sermon. However, if your reaction is different, if your reaction is that you could end up feeling discouraged by verses like that, then please do listen to what I'm trying to say today. Well, the first thing I want to say about it is we need to read the whole verse. You know, Paul has just been describing a lot of really awful things that he has been through. And he comes to this wonderful conclusion that nothing can separate us from the love of God that we have in Jesus. And he then says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, or as it was in the translation that we read this morning, in all these things, we have complete victory. Which is a pretty good idea of what more than conquerors means. It means sharing in the absolute victory of Jesus. And Paul doesn't say, whoa, because I'm more than a conqueror, I don't go through these things. And most definitely, he's not saying, because I'm more than a conqueror, when I go through these things, I feel great. He's saying, I've been through these things. I know what it's like to go through these things. I know the experience. And I can tell you from my life experience that nothing has separated me from the love of Christ. Nothing has been able to take me away from him. Now, I want to bring up on the screen a few other things that this man, Paul, who wrote this, also wrote. Because I really want us to try and get inside, not just this phrase, we are more than conquerors. I want us to get inside the mind of the man who wrote it. I want us to see that how he was is the same as how we are. You know, because sometimes we kind of look at it. I've heard people say, well, yes, but that was Paul. You know, he was an amazing Christian. And Paul would say, I'm really not an amazing Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus. And yes, I've given it my absolute best shot. But don't think that I walk through my life not being discouraged. Don't think, well, let's have a look at the verses. Let's have a look at the first one, which is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And I just want to pull apart a couple of words in this. It says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Asia is roughly what we would call Turkey today. He then says, we were under great pressure. Okay, now just hold that. This is Paul talking. We were under great pressure. The idea behind this word is it was like there was this heavy weight that was upon me. And it was just weighing me down. Anybody know that experience? That experience of when you wake up in the morning and you don't burst to life saying, God is good, I want to do his stuff today. You wake up in the morning and every step seems heavy. Yeah? Everything that you want to do seems harder work than perhaps it should be. Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Or to put it more simply, I want you to know just how much pressure that I was under. And he says, we were far beyond, just let's clock this verse, far beyond our ability to endure. He says, I couldn't cope. Okay, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I know that many of us know that sort of feeling. That feeling where you just feel, I cannot cope with what's being thrown at me at the moment. That's where the Apostle Paul was, and he's telling them about it. And it says that we despaired even of life. And this, the word that's translated here as despair is a word that means I had come to the end of my resources. It means I had no more ideas. It means there was nothing that I could do that would make me feel better. Remember, this is the man who wrote We Are More Than Conquerors. He's saying to us, what you feel when you feel that you are not a conqueror is the same as what I feel. Let's go on to the next verse. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Some people who've studied this letter say that if Paul was writing now as he wrote then, he would probably get a diagnosis of clinical depression. He knew what that felt like. But, he said, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. When I was completely at the end, he said, when I felt just crushed by the weight that was upon me, when I felt I had no more ideas, when I felt I had no more resources, when I felt that I had no hope, I learned to rely on God. And I learned that he was the one who raises the dead, and that he could raise me as well. From later on in that letter, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, can we go into that, please? Just listen to this. Just listen to what this man is feeling. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. I suppose so much in that depends on how you read it. You know, you could say, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Or you could go, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. But we're hard pressed on every side. It's the reality. It's like, whichever way I look, there's a pressure on me, he's saying. He says, we were perplexed, but not in despair. Well, that's one up on the other situation he was describing, where he actually says he was in despair. But again, this idea of perplexed. I just haven't got a clue what to do. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down. And the word literally means that somebody just threw me to the ground. We go through things like that. We go through things where one day we feel, hey, it's going pretty well for me as a Christian today. And then, wham, trip up or thrown down onto the floor. Let's have a look at the text from Philippians chapter 2. Can we take it to verse 25, please? There you go. I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and, note this, is distressed because you heard he was ill. Do you know, there are so many Christians who are walking around thinking, because I'm a Christian, I ought to feel happy. Because I'm a Christian, I ought to feel that everything is right. But this man, Epaphroditus, he is distressed. Oh, and by the way, that word distressed, just to give you an idea how strong a word it is the same word that Jesus used when he talked to his disciples before going into the Garden of Gethsemane. Just before he was crucified, and he went in and he says, you know, I am distressed, I'm sorrowful to the point of death. And he goes in there and he pleads with God, God, don't let this happen to me. Is there another way? And God says, no. Okay, can we, for he, yeah, indeed he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Okay, this time Paul was spared it. But he looked as if it was going into a time where it was just sorrow would come and another sorrow would come and another sorrow would come and another sorrow would come. Now, part of me is thinking, James, stop depressing them this morning. But what I'm feeling in my heart this morning is this has to be said. Because if we are going to say that we are more than conquerors, it's people like that who are going to experience it. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 8, that the most important thing about being more than a conqueror is that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Not pressure. Not despairing. Not feeling hard pressed on every side. Not being crushed. Not being persecuted. Not being struck down. Not experiencing sorrow after sorrow. None of these things can separate us from Christ's love. As Paul says, through all of this experience, what I learned is that our God is the God who raises the dead. And if God can raise Jesus from the dead, then God can raise me as well. And I have learned, says Paul, that I can trust him through all of these things. Because God chose me and God called me and God has put me into a right relationship with him. And here's the great thing, he has glorified me. He has made me something special. I mean, you might say this morning, I don't feel anything special. No, you may not feel anything special, but you are special in Christ because the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead has put his spirit in you and he can raise you as well. What that means is that there may not be any magical cures at all for how we are feeling. It may mean that for some of us today, worship or joy is going to be an act of defiance. It's going to be an act of saying, I believe in this Jesus. So being a conqueror is about us choosing to stay connected to God, to stay connected to the God of Jesus Christ, no matter what. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. We're going to come to communion. We're going to come to communion exactly as we are. And to say, I want to be in touch with the God who raised Jesus from the dead. As Paul says, hope that is seen isn't hope. We'll walk out here still hoping. We'll walk out here still not having received everything that one day we are going to receive. But we all say to God this morning, God, I want to stay connected with you. And then we share in his victory. And then somehow we find that God is the God who raises the dead and he raises us and he enables us to follow him. And he makes us that bit stronger than we used to be. We are more than conquerors in Christ. The only way to be more than a conqueror is to share in that victory. And we know what they did to him. They put nails in him. They mocked him. They put him upon that cross. And he died. And to everybody looking on, except one or two people who noticed some things, but to most people looking on, it looked as if this was the end. It looked as if he'd failed. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And he says to us, come and share in my victory. That's what baptism's about. Baptism is about being buried and being raised again with Christ. If you haven't been baptized, talk to me about it. We can do it. But for those of you who have been baptized, that's what we're in. That's what we're part of. And we share in this victory as we come to him and he pours his Holy Spirit on us that leads us to God and we can cry to him in a new way.